ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, chapter 2, text 58. Yada sangharate chayam kurmongani vasaravashaha indriyani indriyarthe bhyas tasya pragya prachashtita. One who is able to withdraw his senses from sense objects, as the tortoise draws his limbs within the shell, is to be understood as fully situated in knowledge. Purport, the test of a yogi, devotee, or self-realized soul is that he is able to control the senses according to his plan. Most people, however, are servants of the senses and are thus directed by the dictation of the senses. That is the answer to the question as to how the yogi is situated. The senses are compared to venomous serpents. They want to act very loosely and without restriction. The yogi or the devotee must be very strong to control the serpents, like a snake charmer. He never allows them to act independently. There are many injunctions in the revealed scriptures. Some of them are do-nots and some of them are do's. Unless one is able to follow the do's and the do-nots, restricting oneself from sense enjoyment, it is not possible to be firmly fixed in Krishna consciousness. The best example set herein is the tortoise. The tortoise can at any moment wind up his senses and exhibit them again at any time for particular purposes. Similarly, the senses of the Krishna conscious persons are used only for some particular purpose in the service of the Lord and are withdrawn otherwise. Keeping the senses always in the service of the Lord is the example set by the analogy of the tortoise who keeps the senses within. Now this is near the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, which is known as the basic, the Bhagavad Gita is considered the basics, the introduction in Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam Mukta Sangasya Jayate, the science of the topic of Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by which one is freed from material involvement, that is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. So there are many, many topics to be discussed in Krishna consciousness. And this one of controlling the senses is at the beginning, or very near the beginning, of the most basic treatise on spiritual knowledge. Actually, before this, Krishna, Bhagavan, establishes that the person, the Atma, is different from the body. And then this topic of the control of the senses comes in response to Arjuna's famous question about the sthitadhi muni. What is the nature of a muni, a wise, thoughtful? Muni means a wise, thoughtful, spiritually situated person. Sthitadhimuni, one who's situated in intelligence. So what is his, how do you recognize him? Stitha pragyasya ka bhasha samadhi sthasya keshava stitha dhi king prabhasheta kimasita vrajeta kim. How is he? How do you recognize such a person? A person who's actually situated in proper intelligence. What are his symptoms? How does he talk? How does he walk? How does he sit? So in response, Krishna describes the yogi who, his basic symptom is that he is in control of the senses. Now, these are very basic topics. And there are so many topics to discuss. Up to prema and even beyond prema. Well, there's nothing beyond prema, but this, the topics of prema, or pure love of Krishna, there are many topics to discuss within that category, various levels of love for Krishna. However, without understanding this topic, one can't go any further, or it would be superficial to do so. Or even if one is endeavoring to go further, one should not falsely consider oneself on a level where one doesn't have to think about controlling the senses or the mind. Because lack of control of the senses is synonymous with not being Krishna conscious. And it's not so easy to get free from the pushings of the senses. Atendriya priti vancha tare bale kam Krishnendriya priti icha dhare premana. The difference between prema, or love of Krishna, and lack of prema, or material desire, is this. When one is attached to personal sense enjoyment, that is called karma, or material desire, which is explained by Bhagavan Krishna in Bhagavad Gita as the great enemy of the conditioned soul that binds us in illusion. And when one is fully dedicated to serving Krishna's pleasure, that is called prema, or pure love of Krishna. Now, this distinction might not be so easy for us to make, because this already stopped recording. Because for so many millions of lifetimes, anadi karma phale paribhavarana vajale, since time immemorial we have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. So we consider it and this to be our natural situation. Now, this material desire, karma, is compared to iron. I suggest you put some oil on that door so every time if people are coming in and out, a little oil would make less disturbance. So karma is compared to iron, and prema is compared to gold. They're both metals. If one is blind, one cannot distinguish between the two. Although they're similar in many ways, but one is very valuable and one is cheap. So if one is blinded by sense gratification, he may not be able to see the difference. They may seem to be the same. This is, of course, an example comparing iron to sense gratification and gold to pure love of Krishna. But actually the difference is much, much greater. But the similarity is there. They're both karma and prema, desire, But one is for personal sense gratification, and the other is for the pleasure of Krishna. But as long as one has even a modicum of material desire, then you cannot properly appreciate what spiritual desire is. Philosophically, we can understand, and we develop, or we start to develop love of Krishna by the activities of bhakti, of shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, by all these activities. But the actual experience of prema comes from full surrender to Krishna. Now, that full surrender comes, how does that come? There's a process for that. And that's described, or that's alluded to, in the purport here by Srila Prabhupada, that there are many do's and do-nots in devotional service. Things that we should do which help us to develop Bhava Krishna, and things that we should not do, which, because they inhibit our love of Krishna, they bring us again into the atmosphere of personal enjoyment. So there are many of these. We have the basic rules. Srila Prabhupada has given us the most basic for those who want to be serious about Krishna consciousness, so that we should chant the holy names of Krishna at least 16 rounds every day. We should follow these four regulated principles: no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. So there's the most basic do is do chant Hare Krishna. The most basic do not is do not eat meat, do not eat fish, do not eat eggs, do not take intoxication, do not gamble, do not indulge in illicit sex. So all these rules are there, do's and do nots. Because if we do chant Hare Krishna, that will help us to develop prema, going through all the stages. Ado, shraddha, tata, sadhu, sangha. Tato, narta, nivritti, syat, tato, nishta, rajistata. It's going through. Tato, narta, nivritti, syat, tato, nishta, rajistata. Yeah, so going through all the stages, the various stages, one comes to Krishna prema by sadhana, which the most powerful positive aspect is chanting Hare Krishna. If we simply don't eat meat, don't drink wine, and follow these principles, but we don't chant Hare Krishna, then we won't attain love of Krishna. On the other hand, if we do chant Hare Krishna, but we also break the principles, we also won't attain love of Krishna. So chanting Hare Krishna is most important, but we also have to follow some principles. And apart from these most basic principles, there are many other principles which are given in the Nectar of Devotion that we should follow. Yeah, we should add another one for the modern age. Turn off your cell phones. There are rules and regulations in the temple, such as one should not criticize others, one should not become angry at others, one should not praise others in the temple, one should not tell lies in the temple. Better not to tell lies anywhere. But the general idea can be, is the same principle: don't disturb unnecessarily. So cell phones off during Krishna Katha, please. Everyone has a cell phone?
Yes.
So please take it out and switch it off. Off is better. There's also silent mode, but why? Anything so urgent? Just have it off better. So, rules and regulations, do's and do nots. These are to, on one hand, the do's are activities which promote our attraction to Krishna. Do go to the temple. do bow down before the deity. And don't associate with non-devotees. Don't perform puja, is one of the rules given in the Nectar of Devotion. Don't perform puja after eating hing. It's one of the rules. There are many other rules given for deity worship in other shastras. There are so many different rules. So do's and do nots. Now, for a pure devotee on the highest level, he may not observe these do's and do nots because he's already absorbed in pure love of Krishna. But for devotees not on that level, they haven't reached up to the perfectional level, following all these rules and regulations is essential. Once a devotee asked Prabhupada, how can we quickly develop love of God? And Srila Prabhupada said, follow all the rules and regulations. So many times devotees ask, how can we make advancement? Although the process is quite clear, we have to apply ourselves to it. This is acharyopasanam, worship of the acharyas. The acharyas in Parampara have given us various rules and regulations to follow that will help us to become Krishna conscious. Now some devotees say, what's all these rules that inhibits the feeling of bhakti? But the acharyas are not so foolish that they'll give us something that will inhibit bhakti. The rules are meant to help us to develop bhakti. If we think that all these rules, they just stop bhakti, that's actually an insult to the acharyas to even think like that. Because the rules are to help us develop bhakti. Of course, it is a fact that if we become overly concerned with rules, just for the sake of rules, that is an inhibition to bhakti. That is called niyama agraha. Being too enthusiastic for rules' sake. But there's, this word niyamagraha is given by Rupa Goswami as one of the factors that destroys bhakti. So one of them is being enthusiastic for rules simply for rules' sake. But niyamagraha can also be translated as niyama agraha, not to accept the rules. So the rules should be accepted. But understanding the purpose behind them. Now, quite often we see that devotees, or supposed to be devotees, they are not very serious about following all these rules. And often they cite two reasons for not following all the rules, which are genuine reasons for not following rules. One, or can be genuine reasons. One is time, place, and circumstance. That one, adjustments may be made for time, place, and circumstance. Just like, for instance, one should not eat meat. But if there's nothing else to eat, if one has to serve Krishna, then one, theoretically, one could eat meat. Although Srila Prabhupada, when he said, I would rather die than eat meat. So, but theoretically, one could do so. To one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, who was ordered by Srila Prabhupada to preach in Russia, Srila Prabhupada, but he didn't want to. And he was giving so many excuses. And he said, there's nothing to eat but meat there. And Prabhupada said, then eat meat, but go and preach. In other words, he wouldn't accept any, Srila Prabhupada wouldn't accept any excuses. Actually, there are things to eat. There were things to eat other than meat, even in the communist days, but not much. It was a pretty limited diet. But you could get by with vegetarian food. There are other adjustments that one may have to make according to time, place and circumstance. Just like one may, generally devotees like to sing very loudly in kirtan, one should perform sankirtan. It's not a written rule, but it's an understood principle that one would like to sing very loudly and dance in kirtan, but then one may deliberately not do that in a country like the one we're in at present. Where we are surrounded by neighbors who are not very appreciative of that and might even call the police and have your visas cancelled and have you, that means your jobs are lost. So time, place and circumstance, according to time, place and circumstance, one may adjust the rules and maybe not follow some of the rules. Another reason for not following a rule may be simply out of bhav, or great feeling for Krishna. A devotee may not follow a certain rule. And Srila Prabhupada in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in Nectar of Devotion, I'm not sure, but probably quoting from one of the previous acharya's commentaries, he gives the example that it is forbidden to lie down in the temple of Krishna, but someone may do so out of someone who's a very advanced devotee, they may do so out of a sense of great familiarity with Krishna. If someone is in the mood of being extremely familiar with Krishna, out of and very high standard of love of God, they may do so. But generally one would not do so. So one may cite feeling for Krishna. But the general rule is to follow the rules. That's why they're given, because they help us to overcome sense gratification and thus help us to become purified and advance to the stage of love of Krishna. Now, a problem with these, with our own selves, is that we tend to be lazy, especially in Kali Yuga. That is a prominent symptom. And we justify in our own minds, and maybe to others also, not following the rules. The actual reason is that we're not very serious, or we don't want to follow properly, but we say, in the name of having great feeling for Krishna, or in the name of time, place and circumstance, where it's not really necessary, we don't follow a rule where we could follow it. Or we say, out of great feeling I'm doing it, although actually to be on that level of great feeling is not very common. So to imitate that means that we can, if we imitate that highly advanced level, then we can never come to the highly advanced level, because we don't go through all the preliminaries that are required to come to that level, and we don't actually give up sense gratification, we just imagine that we have done so. A disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gave an example of one Goswami, or in Bengal, the Goswami caste. They used to be the gurus of the Vaishnavas. Nowadays they're mostly all communists and businessmen and all this kind of thing. But the one Goswami, he himself cited an example of a highly advanced level of devotion, citing himself. In one lecture he gave, he explained how he explained how he had previously been at a lecture. He had left his home in the early evening and walked long distance. In those days walking was common, so he'd walk maybe 10 kilometers to give a lecture. So he was lecturing in the evening, and then suddenly it flashed in his mind that he had left the window open next to the deity, and it was a winter night, so in the day it's pleasant, but in the night it's cold. So it suddenly flashed in his mind that he'd left the window open. So he, in the middle of the lecture, he just got up, left it in the middle, left all the people who had come to listen to him, and got back as fast as he could to his home and closed the window and apologized to his deity. And it was very cold, so he made some nice hot tea and offered it to the deity and took it himself. And this he cited as an example of highly advanced level of devotion. So the author of this essay noted that this was a bogus example. He was feeling, first of all, if he was really had so much feeling for the deity, he wouldn't have left the deity alone in the first place. That's a rule of devotion, that you just don't, if you have deities, you don't just say goodbye, see you later. Someone should be with the deity all the time. And you don't offer tea. When Krishna says patram pushpam, when patram doesn't mean tea leaves. You say patram pushpam palam toyam. So put some tea leaves, and water, put them together. No, tea is not offerable to Krishna. And also, you don't go around telling people about your own great here's an example of great devotion. Let me see, so many great devotees in Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, but actually, I think I can give the example of myself. This is not devotion, to tout oneself as a great devotee. So, this is an example of someone who, they may have some bhav. He had some bhav, you could say, some feeling, to leave in the middle of his lecture, leaving all the people probably a little angry that they came to listen to him and he just left them. And he wouldn't have got his dakshina. He forewent his dakshina, so he could rush home. But his whole understanding was so very strange. So we cannot think that he was actually situated on the proper standard of devotional service. So proper understanding is required. Otherwise, Shuti Smriti Purana Adi Pancharatra Vidhin Vina Aikantiki Hare Bhakti Utpatayaiva Kalpate. Devotional service that doesn't follow all the directions given in the Shastra, in the name of bhakti, it's simply a disturbance in human society. Now, this Goswami who was lecturing, he was no doubt quite learned in those days. To be a religious lecturer, you actually had to be quite learned in Shastra. Nowadays, anyone can just bluff their way through. But in those days, it was required to be quite learned, and the public themselves were quite learned in many cases. So, quite possibly, he had even been trained in Shastra to some extent, but his understanding, we understand from our acharyas, was wrong, because Atendriya Priti Vancha Tare Vale Kam. The idea of tea drinking is not for Krishna's pleasure, It's for my pleasure. We don't find that in the Ras Leela there's a tea break. There's no tea breaks in Vraja Leela or any Leela. But this was introduced for sensual enjoyment. It's not what Krishna wants. It may be what we want, and because it's what we want, we think, well, Krishna might like that also. If I like it, Krishna must like it. But it's round the other way. We have to attune ourselves to what Krishna wants, and therefore the rules and regulations are there, because we don't know what, we might think we know what Krishna wants, but we don't know. We might think that because I like it, Krishna must like it, but it's not like that. It's what Krishna likes that we should train our senses in accord with that, not to think that Krishna has to do what I want to do. And therefore, all these rules and regulations are there to help us to overcome our lower propensities. Because if we have even a little desire for sense gratification, that is opposite to the spirit of pure devotion. That will block actual pure devotion. So it's good to discuss regularly these points from Bhagavad Gita. All the spectrum of Krishna consciousness. There's so many levels, so many great devotees, so many leelas. But I see that Srila Prabhupada, he regularly lectures on these very basic topics, because if the basis is solid, then everything else can develop very nicely. But if the basis is not strong, then just like the example of a building, you can build a very elaborate, beautiful building, and it may look very nice, but if the foundation isn't strong, then it will soon crumble, very soon. But if the basis is strong, then you can go up and up and up and up. You can build very nicely, very strong, solid building that will remain. So it's necessary for us to understand these topics, because especially in India, this bhakti cult, it is very widespread, but it's spread widely, but the understanding of this principle, Krishnarthe Akhila Cheshta, everything should be performed for Krishna's pleasure. This is not very widespread. Or even if it is there, what Krishna wants is not properly understood. Just like this Gosai, this Goswami. He thought, I should do what Krishna wants, I should make him warm. But then exactly how Krishna wants that, he was very seriously mistaken. So, so that we don't get mixed up, our own personal desires don't get mixed up with what is required for serving Krishna. It is necessary to stay within the guidelines of the rules and regulations. We may think, well, I'll adjust it for time, place and circumstance. I'll adjust it because I don't need to follow this because I have so much feeling. But that feeling, unless, just like we see all over India, we have feeling but no proper understanding. So many people will go to temples of Krishna. Guru Vayur, I was just there, just came from there yesterday. Tirupati, so many people are coming, calling out, Govinda, that's very nice. That they're calling out Govinda. But they're not really serious to do what Govinda wants them to do. Rather, they're going to Govinda asking him to do for them what they want to do. So they're a long way from the actual conception of bhakti. So that is Srila Prabhupada's special contribution to the spiritual life of India. First of all, to revive the whole bhakti cult, to popularize that and make people feel that bhakti is the best path, Krishna bhakti. So that even nowadays we find many people who are initiated in different sampradayas and they're impersonalists, but nowadays more and more they're talking about bhakti and Krishna. It's all because of Prabhupada's preaching and his influence. Otherwise, where did that come from? But to teach people what is actual pure devotion, free from personal desire, that is required. Otherwise, in India, mostly what goes on in the name of bhakti is, like that, for my own desire. Krishna, I love you very much. You love me, so do what I'm just like your child, so just like a parent does for the child, you give me whatever I like. So we should be very careful not to superimpose our personal desires in the name of bhakti. But rather, if we follow the rules and regulations, under the guidance of devotees who clearly understand these principles, then we can advance nicely in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it's very dangerous that the tendency is always to just water it down a bit and say, well, Krishna is very merciful, he knows I love him, so if I don't follow this or that, he'll understand. But then if we do love him, or if we are serious to develop love for him, then we'll follow the path given by the acharyas, which is meant for developing that love. They've given us the process. And if we're not serious to follow that, that suggests that we're not actually very serious. To talk is cheap. We can say we love Krishna, but that has to be seen in our activities. So, Hare Krishna. I'll not say more about this now. It's a basic principle, which if we can understand, then our progress in Krishna consciousness will go very nicely. If we don't understand this, or if we cheat ourselves by pretending that we're on a better level than we actually are, then we can't actually advance. Even if it seems that we are doing so, it might seem that we have so much feeling for Krishna, just like the Goswami. He thought himself, and probably others who were listening to him thought, oh, what a great devotee. He ran back to his own home, closed the window, gave the deity tea, but it's... because it's not properly guided by the rules and regulations of Shastra given by the acharyas, then even though he thinks that he's being greatly devotional, it's mixed up with his own personal desire for sense enjoyment. Drinking tea is not the world's greatest crime, but it's got nothing to do with devotional service. It's a very minor... it's very minor compared to highly sinful activities, but it's not in the line of devotion. So it is an obstruction on the path of devotion. Yeah, any question about this, please?
Then how we came to know that what Krishna likes actually?
How can we know what Krishna likes? It's given in Shastra.
That and
then with that, you're not reading, then you follow the acharyas. The acharyas, the shastras are there, we're meant to know.
Like in Delhi,
if we're going to develop love of Krishna, then we should know what is that. What is that love of Krishna? We should know what Krishna wants. Oh. No. It won't be recorded at all. Maybe in just in this, because I've put this in the wrong one. In daily life?
Yeah, like in daily life we are preparing to know. Yeah. Come to know that what he likes.
How do you know what Krishna likes? And then we have to see from Shastra and see what the acharyas tell us. You can see Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song. Shukta Shakadi Bhaji Nali Thakur Shmanda Dali Dalna Dugda Tumbi Dadhi Mocha Khanda. All these items are given. Krishna likes that. The full standard in a place like this, you may not be able to do. Not very likely. So you have to do the best you can. But therefore I recommend also, don't mind. Don't take up deity worship in the proper way. You can't do it. So if you can, chanting Hare Krishna, anyone can do, any place, any time, any circumstance. Therefore it's the yoga dharma. But deity worship, there are so many rules and regulations. If you can't do it properly, then deity worship is such that if you can't do it properly, it's better not done at all. Means if you can't follow the basic rules and regulations. Means that everyone can keep some. What Prabhupada recommended was that we keep the Guru Gauranga altar. That was the standard. In ISKCON when Prabhupada was present. If there were no Brahmin initiated devotees, then they'd have a picture of the Panchatattva and a picture of Srila Prabhupada. And they'd worship. That was in ISKCON center with full time devotees. And they'd offer their bhog like that and do arati twice a day like this. And later when they come up to the standard, then Srila Prabhupada would install deities. Even in his own centers, where there were Brahmin-initiated devotees present, Prabhupada sometimes refused to install the deity. He said they're not up to the proper standard. Although in Australia, famously, he installed the deity, even though he said no one's up to the standard. Now, what we want, what we think we can do for making advancement can actually be an obstacle if we don't do it properly. Because in deity worship there's much consideration of offenses. Anything else? All right then, we'll finish.
You mentioned that one should then follow according to the acharyas. In a circumstance when somebody starts associating with an individual, thinking him to be an acharya, thinking him to be a guru, but given that it's commonplace now that such individuals may not be correctly practicing themselves.
Mm.
So the question that is frequently asked is, whose fault is it? Because there is an inquisitive bhakta who wants to practice.
An inquisitive devotee wants to practice. He comes in contact with someone who's basically a cheater, is what you're saying.
Yes, Maharaj.
Then?
And as a result...
As a result, his bhakti is spoiled. Well, we learn from Chaitanya Charitamrita, summarizing the principle given in Bhagavatam and other shastras, Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. One who is very fortunate, by the mercy of Krishna, he gets a guru. By the mercy of guru,
he gets Krishna, or by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, get the seed of devotion. So one who's actually sincere, they should get a proper guru. One may be sincere and come in contact with someone who's not sincere. But then if he's actually sincere, then he should be able to note the difference. Srila Prabhupada, sincere, this word is often used to mean someone who's very convinced about something and determined about it. So once a devotee asks someone about the position, asks Srila Prabhupada the position of a sincere atheist, and Prabhupada said, well, how can there be a sincere atheist? It's like saying an honest thief. So Srila Prabhupada didn't, one could say, in general English usage, one could say a sincere atheist. That means he really believes it, and he's really convinced about it, and he really thinks it's best for human society. But Srila Prabhupada didn't accept that. Srila Prabhupada gave the idea that if one is actually sincere, then he won't adopt ideas which are so opposite to the actual situation of the jiva to serve Krishna. So this principle separates the sincere from the insincere. Atendriya priti vancha tare bale kam Krishnendriya priti icha dhare premana. If one desires personal sense gratification, that is material. If one desires to satisfy Krishna, that is spiritual. Now in the name of devotional service, there may be elements of personal desire, but that is a contamination on the process. So if someone is preaching Krishna consciousness, but is using that as is possible to exploit others, that's possible. Or he's directing his followers towards sense gratification, then one who's sincere, they will discern that and leave that person. Or it may be that someone is practicing sincerely, but by some offense or whatever, bad association, they slip from that platform. So then one should not continue to follow them. As long as they're following, follow. And they're not following, don't follow. One has to attain Krishna, one has to be very sincere. Follow very sincerely. Mam ekam sharanam raja. It's a great demand from Krishna to surrender to him fully. Anything else?
Well, according to the definition of sincerity, one would require to be purified to be sincere.
One would require to be purified to be sincere. Is some level of initial purity is required. Yeah. And one has to be actually desiring to be free from, even without knowing the language, the terminology, the science of devotional service, even without knowing all of this, there should be a basic inclination to, or understanding that this material world is not my place. There must be God, I must try to serve Him. That should be there. Yeah?
And is that adequate to take Him forward?
Is that adequate to take you forward? Well, you have to make this step. If one is sincerely desirous to go forward, then Krishna will help.
What I'm unable to understand is that there is contamination, and that contamination obstructs your progress.
Contamination obstructs our progress, yes.
And you cannot progress until you remove that contamination.
You can't progress until you remove that contamination. So you have to take up the process for removing the contamination. Right?
Yes.
There should be an initial desire for spiritual advancement. And based on that, one comes, places oneself under the guidance of persons adequate to do that. And there's testing. If one's actually sincere, he won't go to someone who's grossly insincere. But even if one thinks one has found a sincere person, should look and see for some time. Yeah? One should look and see. One should. It's stated that one should see the character of the guru. One can also see the character of the followers, those who are seriously following. What is their position? But one has to make a step. It's a risk, but you could say it's a risk, but if you don't take that risk, then for certain you're not going to go anywhere. You're going to stay in this material world. Yeah, so, what are those pictures? Or calendars?